live all across the United States and Canada and around the world. We're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We begin the broadcast today with the words of Isaiah, who said, "Present your case, set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Bring in your idols to tell us what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so that we may know that you are gods." And the reason I bring up these words by the prophet Isaiah is there are all kinds of prophecy pundits today in the Christian church who are telling us that they know what the future holds. In fact, some go as far as to say that they know precisely when the end of the world will come or when our Lord will return. It used to be May 14, 1948. That was the pivotal date for date setters. The return of the Jews to Palestine, of course, provided the basis for determining the exact timing of the return of Christ and the end of the world. As Hal Lindsey explained in the late great Planet Earth, when the Jewish people become a nation again in 1948, the fig tree put forth its leaves. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." A generation in the Bible is 40 years. Therefore, Christ's secret return was projected to take place in 1981 and his second coming 7 years later in 1988. Now, if Lindsey was reading the scripture rightly, our Lord had to be mistaken respecting his own return. Of course, people have short memories. So it wasn't all that long until June 10, 1967, replaced May 14, 1948, as the quintessential day in end-time speculations. And this time, the math was downright magical, because you'd add 40 to 1967, you subtract 7, and 2000 emerged as the new date, pretending the coming of Jesus and, of course, the carnage of the Jews. However, once again, the stars failed to align. But prophetic superstar Jack Van Impe was an innovator, and he was able to hold false prophecy charges at bay by recalibrating a generation at 50 years. In fact, 51.2 years to be exact. Said Van Impe, if you divide 77 generations into 4,000 years from Adam to Christ, that comes out to 51.2. And if you add the extra 6 months, because the Six-Day War took place in June, you're almost at 52 years. He goes on to say, add 52 to 1967, subtract 7 years from that for the tribulation, and we're talking about 2012. And then Van Impe found confirmation in the Mayan calendar, which ends December 21st, 2012. It's all here, exudes Jack Van Impe. It's all here, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, of one thing we can be certain, the day after tomorrow will come and go as one more in a long litany of failed prophecies. Why? Because Scripture is not intended to tell us when Christ will return, but that He will return. And when He does, the eternal state will finally become reality. Christ will fully resolve the problem of sin and Satan. He will separate and judge the wheat from the tares. He will resurrect the dead. He will recreate the universe without the stain of disease and destruction, decay and death. The point, quite simply, is this. Biblical prophecy is not designed to help us pin the tail on the Antichrist or to pin down a future tribulation. Prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy are powerful proofs that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. In the words of God Himself, "I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so that you could not say, 'My idols did them. My wooden image, my metal god ordained them.'" Or in the words of Jesus Christ Himself, "I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe." Counterfeit prophecy stars, like Jack Van Impe, have one thing in common. They are, well, consistently wrong. In a lumen contrast, genuine prophecy is infallibly correct. And unlike the pretenders, biblical prophecy cannot be pawned off to good luck or to good guessing or even to deliberate deceit. In fact, right now you can go to equip.org and follow the countdown on Jack Van Impe's latest false prophecy, and you can even hear him make the false prophecy for yourself. Again, all of that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. If he's right, day after tomorrow, the end of the world. We'll see once again that neither Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, or any of the other prophecy pundits that become so popular in the church today, will find out again, over and over again, that they really don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And that's the systemic problem. It's not just the false prophecy, but the greater problem of not being able to interpret rightly the Word of God. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. First up today is Richard. He's listening in Aurora, Colorado, listening on the World Wide Web. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Richard, and I got a question for you.
Yep.
How do you get around lust?
Well, the answer to that question is that a lot of people think you get around the problem of lust with a magic bullet. And that simply is not true. In fact, the tragedy today is that multitudes are saying that righteousness can be achieved through deliverance rather than through discipleship. And therefore, Christians who struggle with lust are said to be possessed by the demon of lust, and deliverance is said to be the key to moral and psychological redemption. Again, that simply is false. If you want to deal with these issues in your life, you have to embrace the very spiritual disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. In other words, we have to become Christ-like. And spiritual disciplines are, in fact, spiritual exercises. Just as the physical disciplines of weightlifting and running promote strength and stamina, so the spiritual disciplines promote righteousness. I like to quote Tom Landry. He was one of my favorite NFL football coaches. He coached for the Dallas Cowboys, and he used to say the job of a good football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order they can achieve what they've always wanted to achieve. And Christians are called to do the same, to do what they wouldn't naturally do, in other words, pursue spiritual discipline, so that they could be what they've always wanted to be, Christ-like. The problem, therefore, for most contemporary Christians is that a vast majority of them have never made the transition from declaration to discipleship. I explain all of this in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. That includes the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Covering can be found on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dave in Somerville, South Carolina, also listening on the web. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Hank. I got to tell you, I was really getting excited when you were talking about the return of the Lord, the real return of the Lord. It just excites me to know, and I can't wait for it to happen. As much as I like some of the things here on earth, I can tell you I'm not going to miss it a whole lot. I wanted to ask you about Lance Wall now and a greater movement called the Seven Mountain Strategy. Are you familiar with it?
Well, tangentially, yes. I haven't spent a lot of time with it. I've heard him talk about it. And the problem that I see in terms of a red flag at the very outset is the questionable teachers that he endorses and that endorse him, from Randy Clark to Bill Johnson to Kim Clement, and of course his mentor, who has been communicating a false teaching for quite a while now, Peter Wagner. I'm a bit suspect just because of that, but I haven't done any in-depth research in this regard.
Well, I have. I lived next to Morningstar Joiners Church for a couple of years. I didn't go to church there, but I'd go over there to scratch my curiosity from time to time. And I actually heard Lance Wall, and I went to a conference there, a couple of sessions regarding the Seven Mountain Strategies. And essentially, to sum it up, they say that we have to take over art, culture, government, religion, etc. as Christians. They don't call it dominionism, but they seem to disciple the nations. If we're ever going to impact the world for God, we have to be leaders in those areas. Cindy Jacobs herself said, "I've been wrong about this all the time. It's not about winning souls. It's about discipling nations. That's what the word says." So I didn't know if you had any other thoughts about it.
Hopefully they're not saying that it's an either-or circumstance, that it's a both-and. And actually, in listening to him speak, I got the impression he was talking about both-and. But again, the difficulty that I have is the associations that I see and some of what is involved in their spiritual warfare paradigm, which is used to take over the nations. And that is decidedly unbiblical. We've written about that specifically with respect to C. Peter Wagner. Going to have to leave it at that. Back to the phone lines. Talk to David in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on the World Wide Web. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I have a question about Andrew Womack. I read a book of his called Grace, the Power of the Gospel. And I did notice that being off, that was out of, you know, kilter, but he made the comment that there are many people who are against his teaching and attack him, and which made me wonder if he's teaching some false teaching that I just haven't come in contact with yet.
Well, he's a classic Word of Faith teacher. He teaches, for example, that sickness occurs when people allow it in their lives, either through rebellion or ignorance. The reality is that sickness is part of a cursed creation, and therefore we all get sick and eventually we all die. The death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. So his Word of Faith theology, which is essentially that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality, is not only flawed, not only unbiblical, but is decidedly dangerous.
Also, there's somebody else that I've read a few books on, wondering if he is in the same vein as Joseph Prince.
Yeah, Joseph Prince, another false teacher who embraces the Word of Faith theology. In fact, I listened to a whole message by Joseph Prince not long ago, which was a very painful thing to do. He was talking about communion and how by taking communion over and over again, as many times as you have to, a day, a week, a month, you can create healing in your own body. It was a pathetic twisting of Scripture. And I've often talked about his Word of Faith fallacies, but when I listened to that sermon, I was horrified by his twisting of Scripture.
So are these just two people that I should just pretty much stay away from their teaching?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okie dokie.
Well, yeah, and this is not about attacking them. I mean, this is the old thing. They turn this into an attack, and it's not an attack at all. If you have Tylenol that is laced with cyanide on store shelves and you don't warn people about it, you are doing people a disservice. And what they are doing is communicating spiritual cyanide over the airwaves, megadoses. Very, very dangerous to people, and that's why we warn people about their false teachings.
Well, I'm glad you let me know about that, because I wasn't totally sure about Joseph Prince, and I'm going to stay away from his teachings. And I appreciate you taking my call very much. God bless you, Hank.
You got to thank you so much for your call. And, of course, if you listen to these teachers, they are communicating things such as God cannot do anything in this earthly realm unless we give him permission. They tell you to keep saying whatever you want, such as I have equality with God, and then talk yourself into it. They say things like being poor is a sin, or the Jews were not rejecting Jesus as Messiah. It was Jesus who was refusing to be Messiah to the Jews. That's John Hagee. Or you create your own world the same way God creates his. He speaks and things happen. You speak and they happen. That's why I wrote Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which exposes darkness to light, pointing us back to a Christianity centered in Jesus Christ. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stay tuned for that.
The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff offers concise, well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the complete Bible Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book on audio CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
December is an important time at the Christian Research Institute when we plan next year's ministry. CRI is entirely listener-supported, and we're relying on God's provision through friends like you for the funds we need to finish 2012 strong and start 2013 on a firm foundation for ministry. Your gift today helps bring more of the resources you depend on into your life and many others. Please partner with us at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your tax-deductible gift today. Now back to the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Mike listening in Fresno, California, KCIV. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. My question is, I'm curious about the Aztec calendar. I have some people at work, kind of talk about it a little bit, and I have no real answer for them or any kind of no knowledge about that.
You're talking about the Mayan calendar?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's interesting about this. Although Jack Van Impe uses this as part of his date-setting scheme, the Mayan calendar really has nothing to do with the end of the world. In reality, the Mayan calendar ends a cycle at this particular time, December 21st, 2012. And then a new cycle begins. So the Mayan calendar really doesn't make the point that Jack Van Impe and other date setters are trying to say it makes. Although, if you look at Jack Van Impe, he's not really saying that 2012 or 2 days from now in 2012, that the world's going to end. What he's saying is that you have the secret coming of Jesus Christ. 7 years later, you have the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then 1,000 years later, you have the eternal state.
Okay, what's the cycle? Do you know anything about the cycle, the starting and the ending, what that means, or what's behind that?
Yeah, it's just their way of cycling particular epochs of time. They start at a particular time, they end at a particular time, and this particular cycle is supposedly ending, as I mentioned earlier, December 21st, 2012.
Is there another cycle they have already set aside for that or not?
Yeah, there'd be a new cycle.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mayans were an ancient civilization in Central America, and they lived between AD 250 and AD 800. And they had a complex system for telling time. So they had several calendars, including one which was called the Long Count, which follows a great cycle consisting of many, many years. 5,000, I think, 125.36 years, something like that. And then December 21st, 2012, is said to mark the end of the great cycle on the Mayan calendar. It's, again, not the end of the world, because the Mayans did not predict the world's end. It was never in their schema of things.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, but a lot of people are kind of saying that, oh, yeah, the end or something like that, right? But so do you know of any other Mayans that have any other calendars after this, like you're saying, or...
Well, the Mayans aren't around.
Right. But would they have had another one after this one?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, again, that's because this was not the end of the world. It was the end of a cycle. So then they'd have to have a calendar for the next cycle.
Yeah, okay. That sounds logical.
Yep.
So I appreciate your time, then.
You get it. Thank you, Mike. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike in Kansas City, Missouri now, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Hank. How are you? It's an honor to speak to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I just want to tell you, you've been instrumental in my strengthening my faith, and just wanted to really thank you for that.
Well, it's my privilege.
Yeah, just real quick, the question I've got. With all of the talk of Revelation, and several, there's several camps out there that want to try to push the events of Revelation into current events. And I don't follow that. I believe Revelation is a parallel passage to Matthew 24. So for those people who are, maybe trying to instruct a different way to look at it, who think that Revelation is really talking about events of today or for future events for today. What things in history can we look back to? I mean, we know the destruction of the temple in AD 70 happened, but are there other additional things in history, in the history books, that can help support or even fulfill the prophecies in Revelation, so we can pretty much prove that, you know, to those that think the other way, here's history books, here's history's history story of what's happened, and here's how it all matches up with Revelation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and I think you made the greatest insight of all in the prologue to your question, and that is pointing out that Revelation is a parallel to what's going on in the Olivet Discourse, and that's absolutely true. If you look at John's Gospel, there is no Olivet Discourse. What you have is an expanded Olivet Discourse by the Apostle John, which is the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is written to seven churches in the province of Asia. They're in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. So what you have in the book of Revelation is a warning about a soon coming apocalypse. And that apocalypse is described in graphic detail with respect to both Rome and the woman that rides the beast, in other words, apostate Judaism. And in the book of Revelation, you have a clear indication by Jesus Christ himself that the time is soon and that the time is near. And I've said this before, but when Jesus says that the looming apocalypse will soon take place and that the time is near, it's contrary to decency and propriety, particularly when we're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, to take his words and say this means something in the far future. This is an inconceivable abuse of language. The words soon and near do not mean 2,000 years hence. Jesus is not linguistically challenged. So the book of Revelation is just like all other books in the Bible. They deal with the people in their epoch of time, and they also deal with the final future. So just as you can find in the book of Romans or 1 Corinthians, Paul talking about the fact that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, there's going to be an eternal state. So you find John in Revelation talking about the final future as well. But the essence of the book, which of course is very relevant to us today, is that the people in the churches to whom he is writing be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time, their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. So when you find prophecy pundits today take passages like Revelation chapter 3 and the letter to the church at Philadelphia, which says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth." And then you say, as these prophecy pundits do, oh, this has nothing to do with the church at Philadelphia. This has to do with the church in the 21st century that's going to go through a seven-year tribulation. You know immediately that you've run into someone that does not know how to rightly interpret the Word of God and is, in fact, prostituting the Word of God. And I think that's why James says, let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment.
Agree. So and I totally agree that we should weigh the Scripture in light of Scripture. But since, you know, in doing that and having completed that, are there external sources in ancient history that we can also pull from to help instruct these people that have this misunderstanding that go into more? Because I think there's in today's economy of people, there not only do we have people that don't fully understand the Bible, we have people that don't fully understand history. So are there sources of ancient history that we can pull from and cite that do a much better job describing the events that took place of that day to help then provide supporting information to help really make the case that Revelation is not talking about 21st century events, but it's in fact talking about first century events. So yeah. That's really the next.
Well, the answer to that question is yes, and you can find some of those sources cited in my book, The Apocalypse Code. But I think that there's an attendant danger here, and that is that there are people, unfortunately, that try to do the exact same thing that futurists do with a newspaper in their hand with the Book of Revelation. With a history book in their hand, such that they are performing what I call the "this is that" fallacy. And then they will say, for example, here's the historical source of what's going on at that time when great stones are being catapulted into the temple court, and then they'll try to relate that to certain apocalyptic language that they find in the Book of Revelation. And I think that's a dangerous thing as well. So they're doing the same thing with history books that people today that are futurists are doing with newspapers. Both, I think, are wrong. But is there cooperation in histories that you can find that correlate these very issues that we're talking about that are extra-biblical and yet cooperate what's going on in the biblical text? Absolutely. And in fact, I actually tried to do that in a novel format in the Last Disciples series.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Oftentimes, if people don't have the real thing, then they latch onto whatever they can. So that's why I was searching for some historical reference outside the Bible as well that really support that. So that's great. Thank you very much, Hank.
Hey, you got it, Mike. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go to Brandon next. Brandon is listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I really appreciate your ministry. I think it's pretty amazing for someone to take questions over the air live and be able to answer them. I wish that I could do that.
Well, thanks.
My question is, you were talking about false teachers earlier on a previous call, and I wanted to get your opinion on a couple that I listen to very regularly, the main one being Dr. James McDonald, who does Walk in the Word. And yeah. I wanted to see what you thought or what your opinion was on his teaching.
Well, I'm a big fan of James McDonald. He's a friend. I've had him on the broadcast, and I very much appreciate his passion. I appreciate his commitment to biblical orthodoxy. And so I'm very grateful for his ministry.
That's fantastic to hear, because He really changed the way that I read the Bible and study the Bible, and he brought me from a different viewpoint to being a Christian that I am now. So I was curious of just what your viewpoint was. There's one other I'd like to ask real quick, and that would be Dr. Robert Jeffress out of Dallas.
Yeah, I think he's another very, very fine Orthodox biblical preacher, and I think that over the last few years, his appearances in the public media have really enhanced his credibility and stature, in my view. Although people took him out of context and appreciated his message, when you actually went back and listened to what he had to say and how he said it, you just had to take off your hat and say, wow, this guy's brilliant. And completely orthodox, and someone that I think is reliable and trustworthy.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate your opinion, and God bless you, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you as well, and as we bring up Christmas, do remember this is a time of giving gifts, and we hope that you will remember that giving your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute ensures that it is a gift that will keep on giving. We need your support, because we do what we do, because truth matters, and in supporting the Christian Research Institute, you touch the lives of millions. Be right back.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong and prepared for even greater ministry in 2013. To give, please go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Do you have unanswered Bible questions? Have you ever been stumped by an unbeliever or been challenged in your faith by a family member or a friend? From the commonly asked questions of seekers to the most difficult objections of skeptics, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff has the answers. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book on audio CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Lee, listening in Mission, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Lee.
Hey, good afternoon, Hank. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you.
I have a very unique question for you. I've been looking into the Jehovah Witness Bible and looking how they butcher John 1:1. But if I take the same system and go to Daniel 9:26, I think it is, I see a mistranslation in most of the translations available to us, and that's where they capitalize anointed or throw in Messiah. I think that misleads us to have a futuristic response or interpretation of the 70 weeks, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And of course, it is futuristic, but not to our time. Daniel's looking down the corridor of time 400 years hence, when Antiochus IV Epiphanes comes on the scene. And that's what consumes him with dread and fear about what the future pretends. And it was December 14, 164, 7 years after Antiochus had celebrated the murder of Ananias, and exactly 3 years after he had desecrated the temple fortress and abolished the daily sacrifice and set up an abomination that causes desolation, that the temple was rededicated and that the daily sacrifice was restored. In fact, this is the very thing that Jews, and you'll hear people talking about not only Christmas, but Hanukkah, this is what Jews celebrate at Hanukkah, freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. And of course, as prophesied by Daniel, Antiochus, the Antichrist of the Old Testament, was finally dead in terms of the prophetic outworking of this, destroyed not by human power, but by the power of God. And then the text goes on to tell us that the death of the Syrian beast may well have been in view when Daniel was prophesying, blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. So yeah, this has to do with something that is in the future, but it's 400 years in the future. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the 21st century.
I totally agree. And also, I've been looking into it. You know how a lot of people will have a start date and they try to fit 490 years in over 550 or 560 years or so. But I don't see Jesus or the apostles seizing upon the 69 weeks in his birth, death, or baptism or ministry.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, that's such a great point to make. If this really had to do with pretending the exact date that Jesus Christ is going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, don't you think that the biblical prophets and apostles would have seized on the fulfillment of this? But they don't.
Correct, yeah. And even the anointed, if I use it in the Old Testament, I see it as either a king or a high priest anointed by an approved prophet.
Yeah, high priest, of course. And again, Jesus, the disciples, the early Christian church, their writers in the early centuries never cited the 70 weeks prophecy as proof that Jesus would arrive at a specific time in history. And of course, as you also allude to in the prologue to your question, there's little agreement among commentators concerning the 70 weeks prophecy. And you read the various versions, including the Revised Standard Version, and they're markedly different from the NIV reading. So this is a very difficult passage of Scripture at any rate. That's why it's so important to read the whole of Daniel in context and recognize what he's shooting at. I think that people even get it wrong in terms of their suggestion with respect to the four kingdoms that are of primary concern to Daniel. Not only so, but Daniel is only alluding to Jesus Christ in the ultimate sense that the mountain that fills the earth, starts with a stone cut out of the mount, is a picture of a kingdom that will come with the inauguration of Jesus Christ that inaugurates the kingdom that will fill the whole earth. And Jesus comes and that kingdom is inaugurated and one day will be consummated.
I agree. There's a few tough passages, though, like, because I think it's in Daniel 2 where he says you'll usher in a kingdom within the succession of kingdoms that will never end. I'm kind of stuck on that, too.
Well, again, I think that's the whole point. I think that Daniel is looking at the kingdoms of this earth, and he is able, through his prophetic prowess, because he is a true spokesman for God, to give a succession of nations, ending with Antiochus IV Epiphanes, but then looking forward to a kingdom that comes, which is a kingdom that is not established by human hands, but a kingdom that is established by God himself. If you want to get a full understanding of my interpretation of Daniel in this regard, I've written about this in pretty good detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Which is Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Good talking to you. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Daniel in Seattle, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I have one question. I know when I was hearing at the beginning of the broadcast, you mentioned Van Impe. What's his name?
Van Impe. Yeah, one. Jack Van Impe.
Yeah, Van Impe, yeah. About the prophecy, about specifically his date setting.
Yes.
Which I agree is off. But now one thing, a question about, what's his name? Harold Camping also did some date setting as well, and that was false. And the issue, what I'm seeing here is a straw man argument of, therefore, so the Van Impe tries to, you know, he has his date setting, and that's wrong, but then you include dispensationalism, therefore I'll straw man that in, and I'll include that as false as well. But the thing is, the issue is more the date setting, you know, and because I know of different, whether you call them dispensationalists or different variations, where they don't predict the future, they just might see things in the future, whether they'll happen or not. So I'm just wondering why you would include that in there and just say that he's just wrong with the dates.
Well, first of all, let me say that I'm not strawmanning him to the extent that I would be. I'd be the first to want to apologize for that. What I'm pointing out is that people early on in the dispensational scheme of things, and I didn't even mention dispensationalism, but a lot of dispensationalists like Hal Lindsey and others who bear the mantle of dispensationalism in our time, they made the red letter day initially in 1948. And then when that didn't work out, then they made the red letter day 1967. There were charts in the back of their Sunday school classes that corroborated all this date setting that was part of the dispensational scheme. But again, I didn't mention dispensationalism. I only mentioned the basic criteria that people who are date setting use and where they are consistently wrong because they're applying a wrong hermeneutic to interpret Scripture. And so Jack Van Impe has made many prophecies over the years. This is one of the latest prophecies, and I'm saying in 2 days we're going to find out whether or not he's a true prophet of God, whether he's got it right or wrong again. And you're right, Harold Camping did the same thing. And he finally, to his credit, after upsetting the lives of thousands and thousands of people, but to his credit, he finally said, you know what, I guess I don't know how to interpret the Scripture. I mean, that's essentially what he was saying.
Oh, okay. I think, okay. Yeah?
Yep. I'm here.
Hold on one second. No, thank you so much for explaining that. That's good, clarifying that. But not, yeah, just make sure, not all dispensationalists do that with the date setting with Israel. Some, I mean, you don't know. Some of them, mainly, I think I've seen some say the issue is apostasy of Israel or Jew at some point, kind of like using in Abraham's time when he was told about the Amorite, the Amorite becomes full, and therefore that's when that happens. But again, I think like
well, and you're making a good point. I want to commend you for the point. It's a point that I wholly agree with. There are dispensationalists who have a view with respect to the timing of the tribulation or the meaning of the millennium that I would disagree with, but they're not date setters, and they are not setting specific dates. They have a paradigm through which they view the Scripture. I happen to disagree with it, but this is a paradigm that is perfectly acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy, so we can debate these things as brothers in the Lord and learn from one another. And I think that point that you're making should be underscored and read. It's an important point, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay. Thank you, Hank.
You got it, my friend. Appreciate your call. Have a great Christmas as well. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Rick in Davenport, Iowa, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks a lot, Hank, for taking my call. I got a question. It's in Isaiah 45. It says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I the Lord, do all these things. Is it correct to say that God created evil?
No, of course not.
Okay, how do you take this passage?
Well, it's an antithetical parallelism in terms of its construction. So light is contrasted with darkness, and peace is contrasted with its opposite, which is variously rendered evil or calamity or disaster, which ultimately is judgment in response to sin in the context of Isaiah. But even further, think about this logically. Obviously, God does not create moral evil. Evil is not even a substance. It's a lack of good. It's not something in itself. So to suggest, as some people do, that somehow or other, on the basis of this passage, God is the creator of evil, just is, well, I don't have words for saying what it is, but it's a frightful misinterpretation of the Scripture.
That's interesting, because it's been a talk for amongst my church here for a little while now, which they were correct. And one more quick question.
Yep.
Once saved, always saved. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the slogan necessarily, but absolutely, God's trees are evergreen. And the Bible's emphatic in this regard. There are many passages that could be cited to support this notion. Philippians comes to mind, where Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Or John 5:24, in the words of our Lord, he who believes has everlasting life. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Christ will keep you strong to the end. Or the guarantee that we have that God is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault. Or think of Ephesians, where we are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. As you can hear from the music, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Man broadcast, but those who are hanging on, please be patient with me. I'll get to you. I'm going to stay here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, I'll answer your questions. I'll answer some more questions as people call them in, 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll play my answers to your questions in a very near upcoming a version of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hang on, be patient. I'll answer your calls in just a few moments. Again, if you're dialing in and you want to ask a question during the next hour, start dialing this number, 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.